Father in heaven, I come before you now in the name of Jesus to ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable to you, Lord, and you alone. For you are the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So please use me in spite of me that we may hear Jesus and see Jesus and go from here changed. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In your bulletin, you'll find this quote, but I want you to right now read it with me. I'm going to read it slowly, so follow my lead because I want the words to impact your mind as I start part two of my series called The Shaking of Laodicea. A month ago was part one entitled Why the Shaking. Today is part two called Who Does the Shaking? So read this quote with me as if you would, and then we will get into a brief review of a month ago and go into our part two today. I asked the meaning of the shaking. Read with me. I had seen and was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness to the Laodiceans. This will have its effect upon the hearts of the receiver and will lead him to exalt the standard and pour forth the straight truth. Some will not bear this message testimony. They will rise up against it, and this is what will cause a shaking among God's people. Now, if you remember, Laodicea is one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. In fact, it's the last church. And here's a map showing you where it is. And by the way, notice this is the island of Patmos where John was exiled. So Greece is right over here. Or is Greece right down here? Who knows? Where did I go here? Is Greece down here? I forgot. Asia Minor. Okay, so Greece is over here. Okay, this is the Aegean Sea, so this is part of the Mediterranean. And here's Laodicea, the seventh church in the book of Revelation. And we're going to look at the message that was written to them because we just read the quote that said it's that message that caused the shaking in the church. And some will accept it and some won't. And I want my people and myself to accept that message. So we're going to prepare for it. Now notice this bit of history, which is incredible as we unveil this series. I want you to see how interesting this is. In AD 60, some 35 years before John authored the book of Revelation, Laodicea was destroyed by an earthquake. It was really shaken. 2nd century AD Roman historian Tacitus stated, one of the famous cities of Asia, Laodicea, was overthrown by an earthquake and without any relief from us, recovered itself by its own resources. The city's reconstruction was undoubtedly financed by its wealthy banking firms. Thus, the Laodiceans were able to decline the monetary aid offered by the Roman Senate. Such self-sufficiency spurred John's pointed remark, "You say, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing." But more about that later. And so we looked at part one, the shaking of Laodicea, why the shaking? Now, if you remember, first of all, we looked at a series of events in the Bible in which God allowed something to happen in order to purify the church and prepare it for what was coming next. That's why the shaking. But for our shaking, There's one element different from all the other Bible stories, including, for example, Noah preaching before getting on the ark, and also Jesus' triumphal entry when everybody thought they were crowning Him king and shortly a while later He was crucified. Why would Jesus allow the church to be shaken? He was purifying them to prepare them for what was coming next. But the Laodicea shaking, folks, that's going to come to you and I, and I believe has already started, is to prepare us for the latter rain. To prepare us for what? The latter rain. And so we see that this whole idea of the shaking is worth looking at. Please remember, the Bible clearly states the shaking would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness to the Laodiceans. Now let's look at this. Who does the shaking? I'm going to do three things today. Number one, we're going to look on what is that message that causes the shaking. Number two, whose message is it? And number three, the answer to our question for part two, who does the shaking? Please take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Revelation, the third chapter. Let's first look at the message. Revelation chapter 3, starting with verse 14. I want everybody to open your Bibles. I'd like the children, I hope you have your Bibles. Open them up, follow along, because there's a blessing for all those that listen as well as follow along the reading of God's Word. Here is the message that causes the unsettlement in people. 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wast cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and the need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Behold, or as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my Father's throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in His throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, my friends, I do not want you to ponder too intensely right now what this message really means and where is this shaking element and why is it shaking. What I want to do today is look at one single element, and in the following weeks, I will be looking at additional elements, and we will try to open this message up for you. But today, why or who does the shaking is what we're intending to discover. Now, when I did part one, on Saturday evening for Vespers, we read a chapter from the first volume of the Testimonies, page 180 And it is entitled, The Shaking. And for those of you who were here, and we had a large number, and we went through that whole chapter on what was described there about the shaking, we received information that was incredible. And I want to highlight that now. As we look, now we know the message, but I want to show you a couple facts. Number one, we're told, and this will cause the shaking among God's people. Okay, we got that? Is that a fact in everybody's mind? This message will cause the shaking. Number two, some will not bear this straight testimony. In fact, it says, they'll what? They will rise up against it. Now, folks, you see how serious this is. Now, notice this. The testimony of the true witness has not been half-heeded. The solemn testimony upon which the destiny of the church hangs has been lightly esteemed, if not entirely disregarded. And so, folks, we need to study this. We need to look at this. Here's what I do. Every morning I get up after my prayer for the Holy Spirit, I pick up my Bible and I reread this message, Revelation 3, 14 through 22. I still don't completely understand it. I read it every single day. I suggest you do the same thing, so that when we come back here for part 3 and part 4 and part 5, your familiarity with this beautiful message will be in your head. Why? Because, folks, it's been half-heeded. It's lightly esteemed, if not entirely disregarded. And I don't want anybody in my congregation, and that includes me, to reject this message and to stand up against it. And so this is the message. Now, number two, whose message is it? I want you to look, if you would, at verse number 14 again. Notice what it says. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write. Now notice, what color is this writing in your Bible? Red. That means who's saying this? Jesus. Who's Jesus talking to? He's talking to John. He's saying, John, write this to the Laodicean church. And by the way, there was a Laodicean church back then. They had some of the very same problems we do, but now it applies to us here and now. And we're going to look back on that message. We're going to look back at that church. We're going to discover their problems so that we can see how we connect with them so well and what we can do not to fall prey to what they fell to. And so I want you to see whose message this is. And unto the church of Laodicea write, John, thus saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And here in the very beginning is an utterance that should capture our attention. I put the words down here in the English and the Greek so that you will see something very interesting. Amen. By the way, really comes from a Hebrew. There isn't really an amen in the Greek. It comes from the Hebrew. And amen means sure. It means so be it. It means truth. And by the way, when do we say amen? The very end of our prayers. Don't we say we save the best for last? Notice Jesus says, thus saith the Amen. He calls Himself the Amen. This is sure, folks. This is so be it. This is truth. But then He says, the faithful, pistos in the Greek. Faithful means faithful, faithfully, sure, or true. He says, the faithful and true witness, alethenos is the Greek word, true. It means truthful, true. Now I looked at this, I thought, wait a minute, amen, faithful and true witness. By the way, you know what witness means? Witness means a person who testifies like I'm doing now. But it also is the word using for somebody that gives their life for the message. Thus says the faithful and true witness. All three words, amen, faithful, and true, mean true. And here's what Jesus is doing to you and I. He's saying, hello, folks. Whose wisdom are you relying on? Who's the authority in your life? Let's make no bones about it. Before we get in the message and find out why there's a shaking and what causes the shaking and what the message really means so we can understand. He is starting out and he plants his feet firmly and he looks us in the eye and he says, I'm the one. Why are you looking elsewhere? In fact, let me show you something really neat. I want you to turn to Job. Keep your finger there. Go to Job. I want you to go to Job 38. I want to share with you one of the most impacting scripture passage on my life that often I quote to remind myself something. So if you've read the book of Job, folks, first of all, you know how confusing it is. Thank you. But if you've ever followed it through, you finally get it comes to a point where God interrupts Job and he says something to him. And it is so profound, so incredible, and so timely for the age in which we're living and the trap that too many of us have fallen in. And I want you to notice what he says to Job. He calls a halt to this ongoing discussion between him and his three friends. And by the way, a fourth one shows up. The fourth one's not even described. I've come to the conclusion that fourth one was Satan. Satan showed up. He jumps into the conversation and starts to mislead Job with his innuendos and his deceptive intelligence. And suddenly God interrupts the whole process. Look what he says. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and he said, who is this that darkens counsel by word without knowledge? Okay, that may not have an impact on you. It's the next verse, folks. It's the next verse I want you to memorize. I want you to meditate on, focus on. He then looks at Job and says, verse 4, not 3. Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundation of the world? Did I ask for your advice? By the way, Job, where were you when I spoke all this into existence? At my right hand assisting me because I needed help? Brothers and sisters, this message is from the Amen, the faithful and true witness. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Who's your authority? It better be Jesus Christ. He's the only one that speaks truth, and it's time we begin to listen. The Bible clearly says the wisdom of man is foolishness to God, and yet we rely on the wisdom of man every day in which we live. It has become so inculcated in our being, just like the disciples. In fact, here's how I'll illustrate it, and I'll move on, because I'm almost done. When Jesus came, His people rejected them because years in advance, Satan had prepared them not to recognize the Messiah. He didn't start a week before. He didn't regroup his forces and say, oh no, there's a birth in Bethlehem. We better do something quick. No. Years before, he began to ply his arts and prepare the hearts and minds of the religious leaders and the people of Israel. Years in advance. So when Jesus came the first time, they did not recognize Him. And He has inculcated, He has impregnated us, He has infiltrated our minds so that there are certain things in which we are relying on the wisdom of man instead of the wisdom of God. And He starts out right here, draws a line. I am the Amen. I am the faithful and true witness. Everything else is foolishness. The only book that matters is the book, the Bible. And then he says something so timely in my mind that this blew me away. He said, the beginning of the creation of God. And now, right away, some of you who are updated on some of the controversy in Christianity, including Seventh-day Adventism, is this debate over creation. And notice the line that Jesus is drawing for the last day church. And it says, arche, beginning. Arche is the Greek word. It means a commencement or chief, beginning, first. And here, by the way, in my Greek Hebrew Bible, down at the bottom it says, in this verse, the Lord Jesus called the beginning of the creation of God. In this instant, the Greek word archaine translates beginning, literally refers to Him as the originator and cause of creation. And when He says evening was, morning was, day one, we got 24 hours, that's it. You have no wiggle room. And by the way, I know an Adventist scholar who I actually had in the seminary as my professor who says that does not declare a 24-hour period. And I want you to know something. He's wrong, and I'm right. And he's got these upper-level degrees, and I don't. By the way, I'm getting to that in a second. But I don't care what his degrees are, folks. Why? Because with those degrees comes a lot of poison. By the way, I want to tell you something. You probably already know this. What's the percentage of arsenic in rat poisoning? What is the percentage of poison in rat poisoning? I hear people mumbling, but my ears aren't good enough anymore. Do you know that 99.95% of rat poisoning is good food? That means 1.05 is bad food. And it kills a rat. And so it doesn't take very much, does it? So folks, the same problem with our intellectuals, even in our church, if they don't allow the Bible to be its leader, they are impregnated with these thoughts of man, and they come out the other side with different thinkings than the Bible clearly states and the spirit of prophecy supports. He is the beginning of creation. By the way, that does not mean He set it into motion and then stood there and waited for millions of years to pass. Why? Because Psalm says, He spoke and it was done. He created and it stood fast. By the way, look at a text for me. Take your Bible, go to John 1. John 1, 1, 2, 3. John 1, 1, 2, 3. We're going to see the word arcane again. The Greek word arcane. I want to show you this. All right, ready? John 1, verse 1. Here's what it says. In the beginning, arcane. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. By the way, I'm stalling because I honestly see some people sincerely trying to find the text. So I'm stalling. In the beginning, arcane was the Word. Now we go back. How far do we go back to get to that beginning? Did somebody say eternity? Yeah, before the creation of the world. In the beginning. Wherever the beginning was in God's mind, that's where Jesus was. So as soon as you get there, there's another beginning and He was already there. And there's another beginning. He was already there. So in the beginning, and by the way, do you know, I think all commentators agree that this utterance in John 1:1 talks about a time farther in the past than in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That's Genesis 1:1. They all agree. So who was there in the very beginning? It was Jesus. And notice verse 3, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Without Him. That means He had no assistance from time. Folks, if you look at the theory of evolution, or either theistic evolution, meaning people who believe in God but they still believe in evolution, the real ingredient of creation is time. My Bible doesn't allow for time. It's Jesus. And He draws the line, folks, before He gives the message that will shake the church. I am the truth. Let me interpret to it. To the angel of the church of Laodicea write, thus saith the true, and the true and true witness. Now I call that overkill. And then it dawned on me that God had a purpose. He's trying to wake Peter and Neary up. He is authority. He's the only one we can trust. Even if all the evidence is on the other side, He's the only one we can trust. And if you don't cast your lot with Him, then you're going to end over on this other side and discover that eternity passed you by. And just because He knew in the last days this would be the discussion, and imagine how long ago John wrote this, when then nobody even heard of evolution when John wrote this, for the beginning of the creation of God. I go, Jesus, thank You. For You're trying to tell Your people, trust Me and trust Me alone. If you lean on anything else, even your own scientific wisdom and experience and knowledge and degrees or whatever it is, you're shipwrecked. I am the faithful and the true witness, the Amen, the beginning of the creation of God. So whose message is this? Whose message is this? Jesus' message. And it's to us. Well, now I got two slides left. I'm done. Wanted to calm everybody down here. So the question now remains, who does the shaking? Here it is. All seem to have a deep sense of their unworthiness and manifested entire submission to the will of God. Yet like Jacob, everyone, without an exception, was earnestly pleading and wrestling for deliverance. Did you get an answer for that question from that quote? See, that's why I feel it's such a disadvantage. If you read the short chapter in first volume of the testimony entitled Shaking, you'll discover this is a reference to those who make it through the shaking. Who makes it through the shaking? Those who sense, have a deep sense of their unworthiness and manifest entire submission to the will of God. And like Jacob, they know how to wrestle with God in prayer and not give up. Who gives this message? People who humble themselves before the Lord and submit to His will. You and me. Give this message that belongs to Jesus, that will shake the church, and many will rise up against Him, even though they may be our good friend or in our own family. Are you ready for that? And Jacob knew how to wrestle, folks, in prayer. And why do you think Wednesday night is the day of fasting and prayer in this church? Because we have come to the understanding that this is what's been lacking in the Adventist church. And we need more of you to join us in that prayer. And I know some of you don't come because you don't want to pray out loud. And we have people that come to our prayer times on Wednesday and don't say a word, and no one says a word to them about it. Why? Because they're there supporting the prayers that are being prayed. And we're practicing how to wrestle with God. And we're experiencing corporately the drawing together and the need to have the urgency and to plead for our church family that are struggling with issues, some who are horrendous, and they don't even come to the prayer times. How does that strike you, by the way? So we're there at 6 o'clock Wednesday morning. We're there at 12 o'clock Wednesday noon. We're there at 5:30 Wednesday doing what? Praying for some of you who should be there. Not to get you there, but to get you to be part of this so God can deal with your condition that you have. Who does the shaking? The people who give the message. Who are they? Those who have a deep sense of their unworthiness. Those who manifest an entire submission to the will of God. And like Jacob, without an exception, was earnestly pleading and wrestling for deliverance. In fact, I want to put it this way. Take a look at this. This is my final slide. By the way, there's the world population, folks, right there. And they don't know Jesus. We got a work to do. That's why there has to be a latter rain. Because we're never going to reach Him. There are too many. You know what we're looking at there? Come on, you intellectuals, tell me, how many billions are we staring at right there? Five? Six? Six. And notice, do you see North America there? Do you? No. That's what? 350 million. That's nothing compared to 6 billion. Here it is. Great Controversy 606. Thus the message of the third angel will be proclaimed. Will be proclaimed. As the time comes for it to be given with greatest power, the latter rain, the Lord will work through who? Humble instruments, leading the mind of those who consecrate themselves to His service. The laborers will be qualified by their MDivs and PhDs and their incredible intelligence. No? Okay, maybe I can't read this right. Let's see. Who consecrate themselves to the laborers will be qualified rather by the unction of the Holy Spirit than by the training of literary institutions. Men and women of faith and what? Prayer will be constrained to go forth with holy zeal declaring the words which God has given them. Who does the shaking? We do. By giving God's message. Now, technically, some of you can rise against me and I'll agree with you if you want to argue because God does the shaking. But I want you to know everyone in here is valuable. Do not discount yourself according to your intelligence or lack of it. I want you to know God has a work for every one of us. If it wasn't true, I would not be your pastor. And so I want to show you a bag of rice. Here's a bag of rice. I'll give this to whoever wants it. But I don't want you to eat it. I don't think you should. I don't know why. I could be wrong. But you see, this bag of rice has been enfolded. My beautiful, incredible cell phone. Which I dropped in the water when I jumped in to save my dog from drowning and forgot it was in my pocket. And what Verizon never told me was, well, Mr. Neary, you don't have insurance. That'll be $800 for a new one until your contract is up in 2 years, in which it'll cost $150. And they didn't tell me about rice. And I found out if you take your cell phone and you put it in rice, and you leave it there. I did 4 days, and guess what? Guess what, folks? It's working. It's working. And I'm, thank you, Jesus. I thought I'd never have my phone again until 2 years was up. Now, I don't have it turned on yet because I was lack of faith, maybe, and I turned my old one on. But as soon as the sun goes down, I'm going to the Verizon store because this rice did the tricks, folks. Jesus has a principle of life that if we choose to apply it, will save us a lot of grief and a lot of agony. Now, before I have the closing prayer, I would like to invite all of you who would like to say to Jesus, I want to know you better, and I want to be ready, and I want to understand this and be ready for what's coming. I want you to raise your hand, indicating to God your desire. Father in heaven, you see the hands that are raised. Mine is raised, Lord. I want my people and myself to be ready for what's coming. And only you can do that for us. So bless each one that has raised their hand. And just as we sang in our song, let them know that Thou art with us no matter what, and we're not alone. So bring these raised hands to fruition, Father, and bless each and every one till we're together again. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2010. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from a secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.